Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on a Sunday evening.
Oh, yeah, on a Sunday after Resurrection Day.
Amen, brother.
Whew. Hope you've had an awesome week after Easter. Hope you've been thinking about the cross and the resurrection and salvation that came from that. Whew. How can you think about anything else?
You can't.
Wow.
Well, you can, but that should be the primary thing.
Yes.
We can think about other things, but the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection should be primary, because without it, we don't have salvation. And really nothing else really matters, because without the gift of salvation, as Paul says, we're still dead in our sins.
That's right. If there was no resurrection, we're still in our sins.
Yeah.
We put our hopes in a dead Savior, and you can't get salvation from the Easter Bunny. And it doesn't matter how many chocolate you eat.
How many coconut-filled eggs you have.
Ooh, that's my favorite.
See, those are good. But they don't bring you salvation.
Especially with the dark chocolate.
Yeah. They just add to your waistline, that's it.
Yeah, that's for sure. So last week we talked about Easter morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24.
Right.
About the women going to the tomb, and they thought they were going to find a dead person. They brought a bucket of spices, and they found two angels that told them he wasn't there. And remember, he told you about this. And it says, then they remembered. They ran back and told Peter and the others, who at first thought it sounded like a bunch of fables.
Mm-hmm.
But then they remembered as well and ran to the tomb. And so this was a for certain event that is really the ultimate sign that what Jesus did on the cross was the satisfactory sacrifice. You know, Paul's going to say in Corinthians that Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection.
Right.
Because the resurrection happened on the Feast of First Fruits, which is one of the spring feasts. And like all the feasts of Israel are fulfilled in Jesus and Yeshua the Messiah, Resurrection Day is the Feast of First Fruits.
Right.
Well, so that's so cool. Go ahead.
And, you know, I know you're doing a lot of Passover Seder meals this year.
I'm a little tired of matzah at this point.
Oh, you're complaining about the manna? Are you
complaining
about the manna? Uh-huh.
I want to go back to Egypt.
Oh boy. No. Should we take a break and we can come back after I talk you back to your senses? What I was going to say was, I know that you've been doing a lot of Passover meals, and now I forgot what I was going to say. I can't think of it. But anyway, you know, we're talking about the resurrection, and the Passover Seders are important because they exemplify the type and shadow. They give you the historical background of what God did to deliver his people out of Egypt from slavery, and how Jesus delivers us out of slavery of sin. You know, they were in a land that wasn't their own, that God didn't give them, but they were exiled there.
Hmm.
We are really exiled by sin because it separates us from our relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
And it's Jesus, it's the blood of the Lamb that was placed on the doorpost from that first Passover, that when God executes judgment over the land of Egypt, his people are saved. Anybody, even if they weren't an Israelite, if they were in the house with the blood on it, they were saved.
Yes.
And so we, as God's people, because we believe in Jesus as our Messiah, we're saved because we're under the blood. And by Jesus' resurrection, he's the first fruits of the Feast of First Fruits. He's the first fruits, you know, he's the first one to rise from the dead. But it also coincides with, you know, the Feast of Passover from the Old Testament and the Feast of First Fruits, that Jesus celebrated the Feast of Passover as he would have every year for the past 30 years, for the past 33 years. And then he rises on the Feast of First Fruits, which is not by coincidence, but by God's divine plan.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, he said, if you read the Gospels, you know, they all pretty much say, I want to eat the Passover with my disciples.
Right.
And it was so important to him First of all, because as an observant Jew, he would have followed the laws. And if he would have said, oh, you know what, we're not going to do Passover this year, he would have been violating the law, mm-hmm. as with all the other feasts. But secondly, this was the Passover where he was going to become the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that he who did not know sin became sin, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so he says he was eager to eat the Passover with his disciples.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was unlike any other Passover those guys had had.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, he changed a few things during the Seder. You know, he washed their feet. You don't generally do that during a Seder, but he did it to tell them that since he's master and Lord, and he's showing them how to be service, how to do service to people. Mm-hmm. You don't generally take the unleavened bread and say, this is my body, and break it and pass it around.
Right.
And you don't generally take the third cup of wine, which is the cup of redemption, and say, this is my blood of the new covenant. I mean, that was pretty unusual for a Seder.
Yeah. And I bet those are all important things, because when he says, this is my body that's going to be given for you, and this is my blood that's going to be shed for you for the remission of sins, that's the new covenant.
Yes.
I mean, that's the exchange of persons when that's, you know, that's God exchanging. We're, you know, Jesus is taking our place.
Yes.
And that's the exchange of persons that's so important to understand in the covenant. And, you know, that's God's grace. It's unmerited favor. We get something we really don't deserve.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We get the gift of salvation. We get the gift of eternal life. As Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So we get life to the full with Jesus, and that's God's free gift to us. We just have to receive it.
Yes.
And that's the good news of the gospel.
As we celebrate
the resurrection of the Lord.
Yes. And this is why, you know, it's, if you listen to us for any amount of time, you know that it's important to study the Old Testament, the Torah and the prophets, because then you really are amazed by what happened at the cross. As the Chris Tomlin song says, I'm in awe of you that you would do such a thing. And those, and we don't know exactly who was at that Last Supper, that last Seder, but we know the apostles were. We don't know if anybody else was. But those guys had been to a lot of Seders in their time.
Yeah.
But they never went to one like this.
No.
This one was and good. I wonder sometimes, like, you know, that weekend, like we always talk about how they, you know, they lived all these things in real time.
Yeah.
And we look back on them, we know what everything meant.
Right.
But when you're living this in real time, you wonder how long it took them to finally realize what had happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I think scripture gives us a good indication that it happened gradually. It wasn't just at the Last Supper. It wasn't just at the resurrection, because they all were in fear of their lives. They were hiding after the after the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And even after, you know, even after they go and see the tomb where Jesus was laid, and then he appears to them in the upper room. Mm-hmm. He walks through the door because the doors are locked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scripture tells us that. So they weren't thinking, oh, the Lord's risen. Hallelujah. Now we're free.
Yeah.
Now here. No, they probably weren't thinking that at all. I mean, the person that they had just followed for 3 years was put to death, was executed horrifically. And they most likely were thinking, they're going to come after us now.
That's right. And that's why they locked the doors. Right? That's why they were hiding.
And yet Jesus comes to them and appears to them. And what's the first thing he says to them?
Peace.
Peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that peace that he is talking about is his peace, that we abide in him and he in us. And then there's a peace that's there that even though there's trials we're going to face, there's troubles we're going to face, that we have an abiding peace, and we know that Jesus is with us.
Yes.
He's not going to desert us. He's not going to leave us orphaned.
Yes.
But he's always there to guide us. And the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus is going to start talking to them again about the Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coming of the Advocate, the coming of the Holy Spirit, who's going to remind them of all that he taught and lead them in all truth.
Yeah.
And that's what we have today, is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But I don't want to get ahead to Pentecost.
And then, that's awesome. And then, you know, they the account we read last week from Luke 24, where the angels say to the women, remember, he told you about this in Galilee, and that then they remembered. You know, he had indicated several times that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be handed over to sinful men, he was going to die, and on the third day he was going to rise. And even after, when they were at Caesarea Philippi, and Peter made his great confession of faith, that was followed by Jesus saying, well, Son of Man's going to go to Jerusalem and be handed over, and he's going to die, and he's going to rise on the third day. And Peter pipes right up and says, oh, no way is that going to happen. Because, like you say, they were part of a movement, and now the leader of the movement was dead. Mm-hmm. And so is this the end of the movement? You know, what have we been doing these last 3 years?
Right.
Just like the end of it.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he did in John's gospel, he talks about how, you know, they say, can you give us a sign when these things are going to happen? Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize until later that he was talking about his body.
Yeah, they scoff at him.
Yeah, scoff at him.
This temple took 46 years
to build.
Bill, you're going to raise it up in 3 days?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he had given them a lot of opportunity to know this was going to happen. And so there's no indication, however, just like we were saying that the women went to the tomb that morning, sure that they were going to find a dead body and they were going to anoint the dead body. But there's nothing in the scripture that indicates that when he died, those other guys would have said, oh, remember, he told us he was going to die. But on the third day, he's going to rise. So instead of being scared and hiding here, we should be at the tomb waiting for him to rise. No, they decided that couldn't really be possible.
Yeah.
So we better go hide because the leaders executed him and we're his guys. And so the next they're going to come after us. So it made much more logical sense to go hide from those who were going to come after you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the other thing that is interesting is that Jesus doesn't go and show himself to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple after the resurrection.
Yeah.
What does he do? I mean, even as you're recounting that the angel told them, and this is in Mark's gospel, don't be amazed, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. So the angels are telling them this. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. It's interesting that Jesus goes back to Galilee.
Yeah.
Where was Peter from? Mm-hmm. Where were all the apostles from?
Galilee.
Pretty much Galilee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, all of them.
They were fishermen.
Yes.
It's interesting. He's taking them back to where he first called them.
Yeah.
And they came and they followed him. And is it Jesus's way of bringing them back to a place that they are familiar with, that they can then start to reprocess maybe all that he's taught them over the last 3 years, and maybe they're going to start to understand what all this means? Because as you said, you know, they were part of a movement, but they were part of something much more than a movement.
Yeah.
They were part of a covenant that God was establishing in their midst.
Yes.
And they were the first to see, they were the first to believe, and they were going to be the first to spread this gospel, this good news of salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And they weren't theologians, and they weren't Pharisees, and they weren't the smartest guys in the country.
They were basic fishermen.
Yes. And, you know, it's I've always thought it was fascinating that Jesus didn't go to the temple when he was 30 years old and say, I'm the Messiah, so I need 12 of your smartest, brightest guys who really know the scriptures and they know all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I need to, you know, they're going to come with me for 3 years. No, he just picks these guys, like you say, they're fishermen, they're working people. They're in a place where not only has no prophet come from, but there were no universities, there were no centers of any kind of learning.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a working class place.
Yeah.
And this is where they're from. And this is why in the book of Acts, you know, when the Pharisees question Peter and John, they say, these guys are uneducated.
Yeah.
What are they doing? How do they know this stuff? They're, yeah. They don't know anything. They haven't even been to school.
Yeah.
We've been to all the Pharisee schools. We know all this stuff. They don't know anything.
That's always a challenge, though, even in our day, where, you know, education is a great thing.
Yeah.
But God can use somebody with little education and simply who has an obedient heart.
Exactly.
To spread the gospel message in a way that maybe somebody with a lot of education isn't able to. Because it's giftedness.
It can get in the way.
It can get in the way sometimes. Yeah, it can. It can. Not always, but it can.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on the person, the condition of the person's heart, where you're availing yourself to God's Spirit and you're allowing Him to lead you where you normally wouldn't go.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good point. And these guys came to Jesus without really any kind of preconceived ideas about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they were simple guys. Presumably, they went to the synagogue on Saturday mornings,
mm-hmm.
heard some of the readings. We don't really even know if all of them could read and write. It's not clear.
Right. That's true.
We don't know what kind of schooling they went to, whether they had some kind of elementary school that they would have gone to.
Mm-hmm.
But these men were specifically chosen to be the leaders.
Yeah. All 12 of them were specifically chosen for a purpose and a reason. And I was going to say, including Judas.
Yeah.
He had a specific role in God's plan. He was going to hand Jesus over.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately. But the role of the apostles, everyone's a little different. Peter and Paul are the two prominent, well, I don't want to say the prominent ones, but, you know, they're really proclaimed as the gospel, the apostle to the Gentiles and the apostle to the Jewish people. But, Luke was somewhat of a learned.
Yes.
Luke was a physician, so he was learned.
He and Paul were really the only educated people.
Right.
Paul was very highly educated.
Yeah.
But we can look back on it and talk about these guys like this, but when somebody tells you, well, I'm going to be delivered over, I'm going to die, and then the third day I'm going to rise again, I mean, even if you're the president of Harvard University, you don't say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because when the person actually dies, you say, well, they killed him, he's dead.
Now what do we do?
Yeah. And they're not thinking about the third day. And, you know, the angels kind of chastised those women at the tomb where they said, remember he told you? He like tried to jog their memory. And even the thing with the temple being destroyed in 3 days and trying to remember there was another place where there was something similar and the scripture then says that the apostles didn't understand it at the time, but then later they did. And so there's a time of as time went on in real time and they had a time to think and to pray and to reflect and to talk to each other. I think a lot of the things that had happened were coming together. And then of course, as you said, there was Pentecost.
Yeah.
Which then really opened their minds to what was going on. So this is really kind of an exciting time. But they had been around, I mean, everybody who's been on Earth for a while has experienced somebody who's died and has seen a dead person and has been to a funeral and has seen a dead person be buried or cremated or whatever it is, but buried, covered up with dirt. Somebody puts a marker there that says, here's Joe Blow and mm-hmm. he was born this day, died this day. Nobody says, well, I wonder if he's going to come back to life in a little while. Because it's out of human experience that happens.
Now, they had seen Jesus raise Lazarus.
Lazarus, yeah.
But Jesus commanded him,
yes.
Lazarus, come out.
Yeah.
Who is going to command Jesus to come out?
Yeah.
So they probably didn't fully understand how this was going to happen,
Yeah.
But as we've talked many times, I think we've indicated that they gradually came to understand what had taken place because they're seeing it unfold in real time.
Yeah.
And they have to, I mean, they're going from Jewish believers who observe the Sabbath, mm-hmm. who observe the laws, mm-hmm. or try to observe the laws as best they can, to seeing Jesus crucified, died, rise from the dead, and now he's going to commission them to go and preach the gospel to the nations.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're going to preach this to the Gentiles too.
Yeah.
What? What? We've considered them unclean our entire life.
Yes.
I mean, that's a radical transformation.
Yes.
It's a radical transformation. But Jesus, you know, when he goes into the upper room a couple of times and like Thomas isn't there.
Yeah.
Thomas doesn't see and he doesn't believe.
Yeah.
All of the disciples are saying, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Oh, no, you guys are trying to pull another trick on me, aren't you? Maybe Thomas was the guy that always had the practical joke played on him. And he was just like, I'm not going to believe until I see it.
He was always going out to get the pizza or get the Chinese.
But he wouldn't believe until he saw the risen Lord.
Yeah.
And what does Jesus tell him?
Mm.
You know, come here, put your hands in my side, put your hands in the nail marks in my hands and feet. You know, do you believe because you've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Now, interestingly, he says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed.
Right.
Which, of course, applies to us.
Applies to
everybody. We never saw Jesus on the cross, literally.
Right.
We never saw him put in the tomb, literally.
Right.
We never saw him come out of the tomb, literally.
Right.
But we believe that he died on the cross, he was put in the tomb, and he came out of the tomb.
I mean, that first generation of believers, the first apostles and the generation that saw Jesus and witnessed him,
mm-hmm.
you know, after they died, it was, they handed on the faith through tradition,
yes.
through word.
Yes.
You know, they wrote things down as the apostles or, you know, the four gospels have it. And then uh-huh. Paul's doing his writings to the churches. But, you know, to compile this and to write it down so that it's given to the next generation or the next.
Yeah.
It's really an amazing work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's the only way anyone can understand it.
Yeah.
That's why Paul says that. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would apply to those guys too.
Yeah, exactly.
But here we are, you know, 2,000 years down the line, and we have faith in these things because we know that they were certain events, not because we did some experiment to prove them, or not mm-hmm. because there was a video of it, or not right. because we were eyewitnesses, mm-hmm. or not that we talked to an eyewitness about it.
It wasn't on YouTube?
It was not.
Oh, it wasn't on Facebook.
But the Holy Spirit has enlightened our minds to tell us that this is the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Whew.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, as you're saying that, it is. It's the Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus taught us. You know, there's not much recorded. After Jesus rises from the dead, there's several things recorded
mm-hmm.
where he goes and presents himself to his disciples and to a little bit larger group of people.
Yeah, and up to 500 at once.
Up to 500 at once. But he doesn't go back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, right.
Because he said...
The Pharisees never see him again.
You know, Jerusalem, how I long to see you, but you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And they didn't see him again.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
The day's coming close, though.
Yes. Woo! I hope it's tomorrow.
Amen.
They never saw him again. I mean, they may have seen him that day on the cross, but they never saw him again to talk to him.
Right.
And he never went back there. And it was the simple group that had his presence with them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And signs and wonders were worked all over the place.
Woo.
You know, I mean, they walked in the power of the resurrection.
Yeah.
And see, they understood that. They understood that they shared in the anointing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That came upon him in the Jordan.
Yes.
The church today needs to understand that.
Yes.
That we walk in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We need a new Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
Whew. Do I hear music?
I think so.
I can't believe it. We're just getting used to the half-hour show.
I know. I know.
But anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as we continue in the Easter season, the resurrection of the Lord, that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because he died and rose from the dead. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Yay. Oh, sure.
I'm glad that was off.
Oh, my gosh. I thought SoundForge had flipped out.
I'm like, what is that?